Today on Seculo, Hunter Biden guilty on all counts.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls on this, and I sure want your reaction. 1-800-684-3110. If you've been listening to the news just before we've come on the air, you know that the Hunter Biden, the jury has returned a verdict. This is the Hunter Biden gun charges case. He still has, in a few months, he's got a case involving his taxes that involve 9 counts, including 6 misdemeanors, but also 3 felonies. In this situation, you've got 3 counts, and let's go through them. He was found guilty of all counts within 3 hours of the jury deliberating yesterday, coming back this morning with the verdict ready to go. Count 1 is a false statement on the firearm sale. He is guilty. Count 2, false statement on the transaction record. Guilty. Count 3 is the illegal possession of a firearm. Guilty. And a lot of the evidence, Will, came from the fact that the prosecutor, the special counsel's team in this case with David Weiss, played Hunter Biden's audiobook where he talked about both abusing illegal drugs and purchasing this gun. And they actually played the audiobook of him admitting to doing that.
Yeah, and I thought it was a really savvy move by the prosecutors, because typically if you have some sort of written record, you can introduce that into evidence and maybe they read the passage from someone's book. But this was a unique case where they had an audiobook version and it was narrated and read by Hunter Biden himself. And so the prosecutor was able to essentially, without compelling him to testify — you can't compel a defendant to testify, they can choose to or choose not to — but they were, in a sense, able to get his testimony into this court proceeding by playing the portion of the audiobook where he is talking about these substance abuse issues, where he is talking about the firearm. And so the jury was able to hear from Hunter Biden himself, even though he chose later to decline to take the stand in his own defense. They were actually to hear him saying these words, which bolstered the case of the prosecution and actually hurt the defense, I feel like, of Hunter Biden in this matter.
You got to remember, these are very straightforward charges. This is not like what Donald Trump was charged with, where we weren't even sure like what the felony was. Did you fill out the form and say you weren't using drugs and you were using illegal drugs? And then you admitted that in your book, and you still went forward and you got the gun. So you had the illegal possession of the firearm, and you also had the false statement on the transaction that said you were not using illegal drugs when you purchased this handgun. Ultimately, he talked about it. I think eventually it was thrown away in a trash can.
That's right. His now ex-wife had found it, threw it away, went back to try to retrieve it because she thought, maybe I shouldn't have just thrown it in the trash, but she knew that she didn't have it. This is all testimony that was also heard by this jury in this case.
Right. So, I mean, listen, it was that he was owning up in the book to bad decision-making. But what I guess he didn't realize, when he was owning up to that in the book, he was also owning up to federal crimes, including federal crimes, which I think each of these carries a 20-plus year.
So there's two counts that carry a maximum prison sentence of 10 years. So if they were served sequentially, it would be 20 years there. And then while the third has a maximum of 5 years, and each count also carries a maximum fine of $250,000. Now, sentencing's not for 120 days-ish. They haven't set the date yet, but the judge did say typically within 120 days, we'll have a sentencing hearing and we'll find out.
Is that the end of Hunter Biden's legal troubles? He's got the tax cases. We're going to come back and go through that, because he's got a number of charges there. 9 in total, 6 misdemeanors, 3 felony charges there. That case out of Los Angeles, so in California. And again, he's got to go through that as well. This will all happen, at least this stage of the trials, will happen before people vote for the next president of the United States. Do you think this will affect Joe Biden in a negative way? Considering, I think he has an anti-gun event today, the day his son gets convicted of illegally obtaining firearms because of using illegal substances. We'll be right back, taking your calls, your questions on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Secular. So Hunter Biden has been convicted of all three counts in these firearms. The count one was a false statement on the firearms sale. Count two was a false statement on the transaction record. Count three was illegal possession of a firearm. This was in Delaware. A jury came back after 3 hours of deliberation. We could have up to 3 months until he is actually sentenced for these crimes, but he's also got more criminal charges that he's facing when it comes to taxes. In fact, nine of those, six of which are misdemeanors. Most of the misdemeanors are failure to pay taxes, and then you've got felonies like tax evasion on 2018, Form 1040 for Hunter Biden, filing a false return a couple of times as well. So you've got some felonies there, and then a failure to pay, which again goes back to the misdemeanor. But that is, again, nine additional counts that a different court in California will hear as well. So Hunter Biden's legal troubles are far from over. His appeals are far from over as well. But the next stage is, these are very straightforward crimes, and the next stage is sentencing. Now, that could be sooner than the next 3 months, but Harry Hutchinson, I want to bring Harry in, because Harry, while it could be sooner than the next 3 months, it could also be in a month. And certainly, I think that the court, it's the first offense. I want to make sure everybody is kind of got their expectations at the right level. He's not going to jail for life for this. This is not going to put him away likely for even years because of the first offense situation. No, if he wasn't Hunter Biden, and there are people in Delaware making this point very clear, that if he wasn't Hunter Biden, he would be going to jail for this crime. Because these crimes, when you have the firearm, it kind of it moves up the drug possession crime to a felony level. When you look at, I mean, you know, you go up to jail 10 years for each of these.
Absolutely. So there's overwhelming evidence against Hunter Biden. And probably the most compelling witness against Hunter Biden was Hunter Biden. So he basically wrote an autobiography, and he basically narrated it, and the prosecution played Hunter Biden essentially confessing to his crimes. So again, I think he's a self-admitted criminal. You are right, this is a first offense, but it may play a role down the road with respect to the tax evasion cases, because then if he's convicted, it will not be a first offense.
Right.
So this was a very easy case for the jurors. I think virtually every American who followed the trial knew at the end of the day that the evidence was compelling against Hunter Biden, and it was not a surprise.
You know, it's interesting here. We've got calls coming in. 1-800-684-3010 is about people's questions on the jury. I think we can start taking these questions now. 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Let's go ahead and go to Kate in Colorado on line two. Kate, you're on Seculo.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call and for everything you guys do. I'm just curious about the jury. Obviously, it's what you would call a friendly jury, but I'm just wondering how they were picked. And no, this is not a surprise that he's guilty, but I think it's a surprise to the other side because they thought he was going to actually literally not have to face any accountability.
Well, they thought he was going to have a plea deal that was going to cover all of this, and that was going to be that. But that got thrown out a year ago, and now he's got these two separate cases. Could he try to make a plea deal now in the second case? Absolutely. Could they try to come up with something here that is less than jail? Absolutely. But remember, he got to do this in Delaware. There's not a more friendly place for Hunter Biden than the Delaware system where these jurors would have been pulled from.
I think you're essentially correct. Probably the only place that might have been more favorable was Washington, D.C. But you are right. This jury pool basically comes from Delaware. The Biden name is well known. Joe Biden has been a politician in Delaware for the last 40 or 50 years. They're very, very influential. Joe Biden, he has a center named after him at the University of Pennsylvania. So everything was favorable on behalf of Hunter Biden, except Hunter Biden himself.
Yeah. Well, I think he is not a sympathetic character, Will, in court. I mean, this is a guy who's had trouble with children he didn't want to acknowledge and paying them out and not letting them become Bidens. And even if you like Joe Biden, I think you realize that Hunter has been a stain on Joe Biden's presidency. It's also been a huge distraction.
That's right. And oddly, you bring up the distraction because already some of the media is running cover for the president. This is a headline CNN just put out in their live feed of the proceedings that they have on their website. But this headline says, Biden balances foreign commitments with painful family moments. Now, I don't discredit that this is not something that Joe Biden is happy about or proud of, and that it probably is a painful family moment when your son is convicted of federal crimes. However, I do think that the campaign side of the Biden team that doesn't have the fatherly love for a son is probably very frustrated with this happening right now. Also, the fact that sentencing is 3 months away, so it'll be after the convention for them, but right in prime campaign season. And then, oh, wait, there's another Hunter Biden trial, this time involving federal crimes with tax evasion and failure to pay. Three of those felonies, six misdemeanors. That's coming in September. So the Biden campaign apparatus is probably very frustrated, very wary of having these things all over the television as they're trying to make a pitch for Joe Biden to be reelected as the next president. Yeah. Of the United States.
And Joe Biden said, you know, President Biden said he respects, you know, the court's decision. There will be appeals on this. But I think, Harry, what's important for our audience just to remember is that this is not the only case, like Will said, involving Hunter Biden. This may have been a very straightforward case because it says if you file the form wrong and you're using illicit drugs, and we have proof of that, and he's got the audio book and the book that he wrote an account of, you got photos of it as well, it's very easy to get the jury conviction. Then he moves to the tax charges again in the fall, usually as well. Pretty easy. Did you pay or not pay?
Yes.
If you didn't pay, you're going to be found guilty to some extent within there. And so he could, in this summer out, kind of beginning of September or mid-September, with serious charges hanging over his head and very little that we know about how much he will actually be sentenced for these charges.
I think you're precisely correct. So Hunter Biden faces the prospect that at the end of the summer, he could face a conviction for up to 6 felony charges if we add in the tax charges, plus 6 misdemeanor charges. And then there's the overhang, which may not lead to a prosecution, regarding Hunter Biden's influence peddling internationally. That implicates both Joe Biden's brother and likely Joe Biden himself. So this is not a pretty picture. And I think one of the things that Joe Biden will be a bit wary of is being too harsh on his political opponent when Joe Biden himself may be implicated in some of the criminal activity of his son.
And certainly now his son is a convicted felon.
That's right.
I mean, you could say the same thing about Hunter that you could say about President Trump. And then, as Harry said, you start looking at, okay, how closely tied is this to President Biden? Was he benefiting from the sales of the paintings in California that may not have been taxed correctly, or the taxes weren't being paid correctly? How much was Hunter Biden sending in to the Biden family trust to pay for Joe Biden's bills and to pay for his lifestyle? We know he was the conduit. Him and Joe Biden's brother was the conduit for Biden Inc., I'd say, that would bring in the resources and bring in the money.
And to echo Harry's point, one of the first lines of attack that the DNC and many Democrats and even the Biden campaign came out with after the conviction in Manhattan, which was a much more convoluted case, not as straightforward to understand, they were calling Donald Trump convicted felon. Now, President Biden's statement here says, "Jill and I love our son. We are so proud of the man he is today. So many families have fought, have loved ones who battled with addiction, understand the feeling of pride when someone you love comes to the other side." But that doesn't take away that he's convicted felon. Is he going to be able to still use that line effectively when he's showing so much grace? And you know, for a father to show grace for your son, that's not a bad thing for him as a father. Yeah. But if you use the political line of convicted felon, it gets very awkward for him when his son is now a convicted felon as well, and he's trying to use that politically.
I think if you're Hunter Biden, you've got to fight this and fight this back quickly, or else you're going to be off the campaign trail because you are going to be too toxic for the Biden campaign to keep around. We will see again. How does Joe Biden respond? How does the Biden campaign respond? Does Hunter Biden keep showing up at events across the country? They had Jill Biden at all of his trial dates, as well as his uncle, or does he take a back seat publicly because he's got these other additional charges coming as well in California involving not paying taxes? We'll take your calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to Secular. So Hunter Biden charged with a guilty three counts in the federal gun case. He will now have the second case will be the tax case, where he is charged with nine counts. Three of them are felonies. What will the sentencing look like? Well, we don't know. That's going to occur in 3 months. What we do know with Hunter Biden is that he appears to be a first-time offender as well. So if you believe that, and listen, it's different to go buy guns illegally while you're on drugs, and the statutes are very clear on that. But if you believe that this is a serious, then again, look at what Donald Trump has been charged with and compare it. And with Hunter Biden, we know what he's done wrong. It's not hard for any of us here or any of you out there to know he wasn't paying his taxes. Okay, they've got years and years of that. And he was acting as a conduit for his family. We've got years and years of those records as well as him on audiobook admitting that he was on crack while buying the firearm.
Well, yeah, that's right. So what you look at here is that there's a kind of a tale of two cases as we've ended up in this political season where there have been high-profile cases surrounding two of the candidates that are running for president, one being Donald Trump and having his case in New York, along with the litany of others from special counsel, but then also with the son of the sitting president of the United States. What I think most people would hope is that this kind of takes this out of the political fray. I'm not sure that that happens. I think that instead it's going to be a situation where the Democrats continue to double down and double down. And since it is one step removed from the president being his son, especially with this specific case, this isn't one that is tied to money. Now, the tax trial in September may change that a little bit, but they'll try to say, hey, we're going to split hairs here and say, well, Donald Trump, that was him actually doing something, even though it was a very convoluted case. This was the president's son, so this is completely different. He has nothing to do with it. But I think that as we get into the political season, we're going to see more and more of those attacks from both sides around the criminal situations that are happening before us.
The unfortunate weaponization of law enforcement in the United States of America, we didn't want it to get there. The ACLJ did not want it to get there, but that is just reality right now. I want to go to CeCe Howe because, CeCe, we do have an ACLJ victory, another ACLJ victory to report. Let's tell people about it.
Yeah, so I'm excited to report that in New Hampshire, we had been representing a librarian who also happened to be a conservative state representative. And she decided on her own time, as the librarian on her own personal time, that she was going to be supporting some conservative candidates for the library board. And as soon as she actually wrote a letter into the newspaper supporting these candidates and lending her support to these candidates, she was immediately fired by the library. And what's interesting about this is when they fired her, they told her, you know, basically that it was her supporting these conservative candidates. And so she specifically asked them, so you're firing me because of my political activity. And they actually confirmed that, that yes, that's why they were firing her. So, you know, they reinstated her because they realized, I think, what they had done was wrong. But we took this case. She reached out to us because she didn't want this to happen again. Right. She didn't want this to happen to other people. And that's what's so great about our work is that when we win these cases, we don't just win them for our clients. We win them for everyone in that pool of people. Here, the employees at the library. And so we had a resounding victory in the Federal District Court in New Hampshire, and the judge has signed our consent decree, which not only makes the library make a public apology for this action, but it actually declares that her termination for her political activity violated her First Amendment rights. And they will have to also expunge any negative comments or anything in her employee record. And then it enjoins them from ever disciplining any employee ever again because of their off-duty political speech. They have to reiterate the rights, these First Amendment rights and protections, to all of their employees at the library, and they have to add language into their employee handbook determining and declaring that you have a First Amendment right to have political speech that's not during your duty as an employee of the library. So it is a win, again, not only for our client, but for every single person that's going to ever be employed by this library.
All right, let's go back to the phones, Will. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air.
Yeah, let's go to Tim calling in Michigan on line 3. Tim, you're on Seculo.
Hello. My question is, let's just say this goes through and then the other felonies go through and Hunter gets prison time. Can Joe, President Biden, pardon him? And if so, do you think
he will? Matters, yes. So if it's a federal matter, absolutely. If it was a state matter, no. But if these are federal, so yes, Joe Biden has pardon power to issue immediately. Remember, it doesn't even look like the appeals are going to start for 3 months.
Right. So because we won't even know a sentence until at least 90 days from the court, as well as the president has previously said he will not pardon his son in this. I think after an election, I think you could see something completely different after whether or not if, say, President Biden loses the election, he has that lame duck period where he very much could issue a bunch of pardons, including one for his son. Or if he does win and has no longer the political consequences of another election, you may see that as well. I wouldn't expect a pardon before the election, even if for some reason there was a jail sentence imposed. Right. But stranger things have happened in this country.
Yes, they have. Yeah. And they are coming out quickly, some of these pardons, and some are not. And, you know, he's got to, again, be able to take care of himself, his family, make some income, and keep that clearance. Because that clearance is the key to getting the job in the intelligence world, in the private intel world, which is so popular and big in Washington, D.C. There go my glasses. The what I think is important here to understand is that that is equal justice under the law. I don't want to get to a point where we just attack each other because of our political beliefs. I think that's a very, very dangerous point in the United States of America. But if you are going to take Donald Trump with six different cases, then Hunter Biden can deal with two that are related to each other, since he is the son of the president who made very bold statements on his audiobook and documented all his bad actions.
That's right. And once again, in that savvy move by the prosecutors, playing the actual audiobook narration from Hunter Biden himself to the jury, so they were able to hear directly from the defendant without him actually having an opportunity to defend himself. It was a savvy move. And once again, the defense declined to put Hunter Biden on the stand at the end of the trial, which is the normal course of action, unless it's your last-ditch Hail Mary move. But they did hear directly from the defendant himself, in his own words, from the prosecution playing that audiobook.
Yeah, so I mean, I think on appeal, this has a good chance. I think the Merchant case, that's got a good chance because that has changed significantly with that letter saying somebody wrote on the Facebook page. The Facebook page said that we already know the outcome of this case. My cousin's on the jury. That has to be resolved for the American people. It doesn't have to be, oh, someone actually did it. But I want to confidently know if this was resolved and it's just kind of an internet meme or scam going on. But we have to report the news because the news reporting is reporting it as well. We want you to donate today at the ACLJ at aclj.org. And if you are able, become an ACLJ monthly champion. That's right, a champion of the ACLJ at aclj.org/champions.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So, of course, we've got, just to walk you through, if you are just joining us on the air, you've got the Hunter Biden, and we've got, of course, the case here involving the purchase of the gun. And this is Hunter Biden with the gun charges and the drug charges combined. Now, we're talking about three counts here. The jury took 3 hours with those three counts. So it was done very quickly, and they came back with guilty, guilty, guilty. Now, we do not have sentencing yet. I think that's very important to note. We don't have how long he's going to be, is he going to go to jail? First offenses. I think, remember, he's got tax charges case going on in a couple months as well out of Los Angeles with the same special counsel. So getting closer to the actual election. And even today, I mean, this makes it awkward for President Biden because he's got a gun event today. And he's got to be asked about it. I guess he'll pull the Biden typical move of, I don't hear the questions, and kind of try to move along. But what I think is clear here is that Hunter Biden is, they had all this set up in a plea deal. They kind of boldly tossed it out the window. And the truth is, the plea deal was very, could have been a lot more effective for Hunter. And now he's going from court to court and being exposed. This was in Delaware, so you're not going to find a much friendlier jury pool than a Delaware jury where you've grown up your entire life, where your dad is represented and he's lived as a congressman and senator. And they also have seen you go through the trials and tribulations that you've gone through. I don't know that they use that significantly. I know they tried to maybe with the book, that this was somebody who did go to rehab and did try to get things changed and did try to get things fixed. But ultimately, I think, well, no one's really shocked because these charges are so clear. It says, if you do these three things, you get charged with this crime.
I think the only reason people may be shocked is because we've unfortunately been conditioned to see the Bidens get away with literally everything. Yeah. And if you're a conservative, though, they're going to throw the book at you. Like if you're a pastor that's defending his son at a pro-life rally, you get charged with a FACE Act violation and have a jury trial. That man was acquitted, thankfully. But here, I think that was the concern, is that there's never going to be justice if your last name is Biden. Now, we'll still see how this plays out. And once again, first offender, in theory, you would think he shouldn't probably serve jail time. Right. Many people were concerned that it's a Delaware jury. His family name carries a lot of weight there. The fact that the Secret Service was there and the First Lady of the United States sitting in that courtroom, you don't think that's jury intimidation, but that's a play to get inside the head of the jury that, oh my goodness, that's the First Lady and that's right. The Secret Service here in the courtroom. What are we doing here? Yeah. That those ploys did not work. I mean, she was there showing support for her son, right. But there was a theatrics to it as well. And yes, it ended up that the law was clear. They were cut and dry, that they returned a guilty verdict very quickly. I mean, when you think about electing a foreman, going over the charges, and then deliberating, 3 hours is not very much time at all. It sounds like they all pretty much had their mind made up based off of the case that were presented by the prosecution.
Right. I mean, we will take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We come back, we're going to talk to Rick Rennell, then we'll take more of your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So if you're on the phone, hang on the line as well, because I do want to answer as many as we can on Hunter Biden, on what's coming next. Again, remember, with President Trump, we're looking at July 11th as the next sentencing date. And you go through those cases. That's, of course, when he will likely appeal that case as well, the Alvin Bragg case. A lot going on in the other cases as well. We're going to get an oral argument on out of Florida with the case involving, Judge Cannon, and whether or not the appointment of the special counsel is even constitutional. We want you to support the work of the ACLJ and make that donation online at aclj.org. And if you're ready, become an ACLJ champion.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Safer about your country. Let me bring in Rick Rennell. I don't know if we're going to feel safe or not after Rick joins us, because Rick, this one I love, just to be reading this headline in the middle, you know, the summer's beginning and the Russian military is going to have exercises right here in the Caribbean. So if you're like us and you live in the Southeast, that's not really very far away, or if you live in Florida. And of course, they're telling, you know, the Biden administration saying, don't worry, we don't think that any of these subs have got nuclear warheads armed on them.
Look, I'm very concerned. I've seen the CBS reports downplaying all of this, saying, you know, it's not a big deal. We've seen now the Biden Pentagon saying it's not a big deal. This is a big deal. And it comes on the heels, Jordan, of the fact that we have seen the Biden administration tell the Ukrainians that they are allowed to attack Russia inside Russia. This is now a reaction. When Joe Biden tells the Ukrainians they're allowed to attack inside Russia, what do you think Putin and the Russians are going to do? They're going to send ships over to us. Not only to send a clear message, but I think we are playing with fire. And don't forget, Joe Biden has not picked up the phone in more than 2.5 years to speak to Putin. They're not even speaking to each other. So we don't know exactly why they're doing this, other than it's a reaction to us telling the Ukrainians they're allowed to launch some sort of an offensive campaign inside Russia.
I mean, how much of it, Rick, is to say that, listen, you might hear in your media, Americans, that we're bogged down in Ukraine, but we're able to send, you know, highly sophisticated submarines and Navy ships right up to your border while we are fighting in Ukraine. So don't believe your media or your government when they tell you that we are bogged down and not able to fight on multiple fronts, or not able to attack on multiple fronts. Is it somehow a good thing that Russia is in this never-ending conflict with Ukraine?
Look, I'm concerned, and you and I have talked about this numerous times, that we keep talking about war and funding war and more military hardware without having a discussion about peace deals. No one is talking about a peace deal. The Ukrainians are getting tired. They're losing men and women. They're not able to find enough men to fight. They're down in very low numbers. It's not looking good to find new individuals who want to fight in this war or who are forced to fight. I've heard reports now of the Ukrainian government checking every single car and train that leaves Ukraine, looking for people who are escaping, military-aged men who are able to fight, who are trying to get out. So the Russians see this. We might not see this in our media because our media has decided to completely give us one side of the news when it comes to this Ukrainian issue and the war between Ukraine and Russia. But I'm very concerned that, again, Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin are not speaking. There's no peace plan. And it just seems to be ratcheting up with these ships coming into our hemisphere and sending a message right after Joe Biden announced to the world that Ukraine could go on the offense inside Russia. This is not good. And we need people who are diplomats to try to get us out of this mess.
Rick, I want to play for you a soundbite. This is back from a presidential debate between Barack Obama, who was the president, to then Vice President Joe Biden running for re-election. And Barack Obama was speaking with, or debating rather, Mitt Romney in this presidential debate. And there was a pivotal moment on foreign policy. I'm going to play this and then I have a question right after.
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
And after that debate, we saw years of what the left then pushed as a geopolitical threat of Russia, whether it be Russia interfering in our elections, whether it be Russian spies on our soil, whether it be the war in Ukraine. And now we see saber rattling in the Caribbean. If it wasn't a threat in 2012, did the Democrats make Russia a threat through their failed foreign policy?
Well, you're too smart. You nailed it right there. I mean, look, someone messed up. Someone ignored a rise in Russia. And we've seen that, in Syria, for instance. The Russians now control Syria. And we have chaos in the Middle East, largely because we've seen the Obama-Biden team and now the Biden-Harris team really ignore many of the warning signs. And so I'm, again, concerned not so much that our Pentagon isn't ready and that we're not equipped. I'm concerned that our State Department isn't able to send in tough diplomats to try to avoid war. Look, if you want to avoid war, you have to have some very tough diplomats trying to sit at a table where you negotiate. Negotiation is very difficult. It's much easier to stand up, walk out of the room, and hand the file to the Pentagon because the Pentagon doesn't negotiate, and we are the biggest and the best when it comes to our military. But the difficult part is avoiding war, of sitting around a table, and that's what we're not doing. And now we've seen this escalation with Russian ships, including a submarine that has nukes, coming into Cuba, coming into our hemisphere. And again, let me say for the third time, Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden haven't spoken in more than 2.5 years, not even picked up the phone to speak.
You know, Rick, we see a New York Post report on NATO preparing for a potential ground war with Russia. This has been everyone's top concern since this conflict began, that ultimately the U.S. and other countries would be dragged into an actual conflict with Russia, an on-the-ground conflict with Russia. And they say that they're even including plans for how U.S. troops would be involved. I mean, so this is what is getting to the press right now as we get closer and closer to this presidential election. And I think you could draw a big distinction between where a President Trump would not send U.S. troops to fight Ukraine's war, and a President Biden who, I mean, day to day, who knows what they may do and who they may send to fight Ukraine's war.
Yeah, look, this is a concern because of what we were talking about earlier as well, where Ukraine is running out of military-aged men to fight this war. And so there is a concern that NATO is going to be asked to pick up the slack. And, you know, NATO exists to try to combat Russia, but NATO does not exist to fight wars that don't include member states unless there is an agreement from all the member states. And so that's where I get concerned, because Joe Biden has clearly made some decisions about allowing Ukrainians to attack Russia, something that didn't happen during the Cold War even. But now the Americans are telling the Ukrainians they're allowed to attack Russia on the offense inside Russia. And that means all bets are off. That means that we can't really use history as a guide anymore.
So if all bets are off and we've got Russians in the Caribbean and they're headed to Cuba, and we've got, again, Israel under attack from all sides, really, both diplomatically and militarily, I mean, this is a time where strong U.S. leadership, like you said, Rick, strong leadership diplomatically could prevent more conflict, and also an escalation in conflict that could affect more Americans.
I mean, heck, we should just be hoping that Joe Biden will pick up the phone and talk to Vladimir Putin at this point. Pick up the phone and actually have a conversation.
You know, I mean, that is pretty simple advice coming from the former director of national intelligence and former ambassador to Germany. Just pick up the phone, start the relationship, start having conversations. Let's prevent an actual conflict between NATO and Russia, which would involve, as they said, U.S. troops. And let's figure out a way to get to peace with the Ukrainian conflict and other conflicts around the world. Rick, as always, we appreciate you joining us on the broadcast. Let me encourage you, folks, this is a day you should support the ACLJ. You know, we're taking on the FBI in federal court over the targeting of Christians, the threat tagging of parents and as terrorists and unlawfully spying on Americans. We're defending FBI whistleblowers, as you know, in federal court as well. We got the Alan Wynn, the O'Boyle case filing last week. But we need you to donate at ACLJ.org. You can also become an ACLJ champion. There are over 21,000 ACLJ champions. If you're able to, become a monthly supporter of the ACLJ. Become one of those champions. I always say, because of our champions, when a case comes in, we consider whether or not we're going to take the case. We don't have to consider the cost of the case. That's because of you. ACLJ.org. Donate today. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org,
where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Now we're going to get back to those phone calls. We covered a lot of topics here. So let's get back to it. If you want to talk to us on air, you got to call right now, 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. We're going to go to Bill in Wyoming on line one. Bill, you're on Seculo.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry if I sound too cynical, but I tend to believe that the president is saying he's not going to pardon. It's either an event of gaslighting us in the fact that he's either instructed those people in Delaware how to handle this case, or maybe he already has information as to how this case is going to be handled, and that Hunter is only going to get a slap on the wrist.
It's still possible that even with the three guilty charges, Will, that he does only get a slap on the wrist.
That's right.
I mean, because though these crimes involving gun charges, usually that's not the case. He was very open about the fact that he was on illegal drugs. He had a substance problem. He had to go get that handled. He did go get that handled, and this was part of the problem. And thankfully, while he had that weapon, he did not injure anyone else, because that would have been a much different case. Now, on the tax issue, I'm not sure that's going to help him quite as much, but he has paid the taxes back. So, again, that case hasn't even started yet, but I do think what's important for everyone to realize is I don't expect Donald Trump to get serious jail time. Well, I don't expect that Hunter Biden's going to get serious jail time either.
Right. And this is an interesting question, actually, that came in one of our producers passed along, is that while they are talking a lot about whether or not Joe Biden will pardon his son, no one, and he's saying, I will not pardon, I'm not planning on pardoning him, giving that line, we haven't heard people asking about commuting of the sentence. Is that something that could be in play where he doesn't pardon him, so it's not off his record, but if there were jail time involved, then Hunter Biden doesn't go to jail, he's still a convicted felon, but he's not serving jail time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's multiple things that Joe Biden could do that aren't necessarily a pardon that would prevent Hunter from going to prison. But I don't think Hunter will go to prison anyways. I really don't. I think the pardon would be to clear his record completely. These are federal charges, both the gun charges and the tax charges. So the president is totally within his purview to issue pardons whenever he would like to do, so long as he's president of the United States.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Bob calling in Michigan on line two. Bob, you're on Seculo.
Hi. Our subjection to one side of the news, who incessantly state no one is above the law, now suddenly has turned the tables on the liberal Democrats. And so I ask, how can anyone in the Biden family think that the American public would offer them any sympathy when it comes to the conviction of Hunter or any possibility of his gaining a pardon?
Yeah. I think they'd wait. Remember, he won't likely be sentenced on this till after Joe Biden knows if he'll be president or not again.
Right.
Or if Joe Biden knows he's not going to be president after January and it's going to be President Trump again. So then he can issue that pardon knowing that he's not going to be up for re-election again. He either got re-elected or he didn't, and he'll have a couple months to issue a pardon if he would like to clear his son's name.
And also to the caller's point, saying how can the left still say no one's above the law and all these things, never underestimate the left's ability to use doublespeak and hold a double standard. So I don't think that they're losing any sleep at night all of a sudden being like, oh no, Hunter Biden got convicted. They couldn't care less. The left has an agenda against conservatives. Exactly, and that's all they care about. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Nick in Texas on line five. Nick, you're on Seculo.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, Jordan. It's Nick Wright. I'm a 46-year lawyer in Dallas, aching up Strauss, Howard and Feld, et cetera, et cetera. I've been watching the coverage on ABC, NBC, CBS. They are spinning this against Trump by saying that, oh, Joe Biden says he's willing to observe the rule of law. He's not going to pardon his son, et cetera, et cetera. But Donald Trump, he doesn't think that the rule of law is applicable to him in New York. So what you guys need to do, in my estimation, and I've supported you guys for a long time in a big way financially, what you guys need to do, and all the Hannitys and all of these guys, is explain to these few independent voters out there who don't know their head from a hole in the ground about how the law works. You need to explain the difference between these cases, which is that this case is totally justified against Hunter, whereas the case against Trump is, you know, excuse the expression, trumped up. Total bull malarkey.
We don't even know. Nick, I appreciate your support of the ACLJ. We still don't know. Donald Trump still doesn't know. His legal team doesn't know exactly what federal felony he's being charged with. Like, what elements of a crime does he need to push back on? Where in Hunter Biden's case, it was very clear. Here are the three charges. This is what we are trying to charge you with. We walked through them with everybody. It was this. Count one, false statement, firearm sale. False statement, transaction record. Number three, illegal possession of the firearm. Guilty, guilty, guilty. But that's easy stuff. Not like, these ongoing business records that somehow relate to federal elections law or state election law or some other law that would have been violated by President Trump if you think that he was inflating the amounts that his properties were worth to get loans that he paid back, that he has not been late on. I think that was the key too. There was no one injured in the situation involving President Trump. In the situation involving Hunter Biden, thankfully, as a hardcore, hard drug user, no one was injured. But he was taking the photos of someone who was very troubled. Fully nude with the gun and with other, taking part in other illegal activities, talking about the amount of drug use. So, again, you put it all together. Do I think Hunter's going to get years and years behind bars? I don't. But if you start looking at this case and add the tax case to it, you could start looking at some more, much more serious penalties than I think would ever be faced by Donald Trump.
You know what I think is also interesting, the way that the media is spinning about him caring about the rule of law and not pardoning his son. The president has pardon of power. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's kind of a weird take to be like, I'm not going to pardon my son. Right. It's like, that's kind of one of the perks at that point, is that right. You're the president of the United States. You could pardon your son and say, you know what? It's my son. I love him. I'm the president. I'm pardoning him. Yeah. And there's nothing corrupt about that. There's nothing illegal.
I think he does that if he loses.
Yeah, but also, I think there's an interesting play he could do that would play more into that, is say, I'm pardoning from all the special counsel side. Yeah, I'm pardoning Donald Trump for all these crimes. I'm pardoning Hunter. Let's get rid of all this and have an actual election based on substance and policy, but they don't know they have anything to run on.
I don't know. I think that they're too worried to do that, even though that wouldn't get Trump out of the New York DA's case or the case involving Letitia James. It wouldn't get rid of the case involving Fannie Willis, but it would get rid of the special counsel cases, the Jack Smith cases as well. So, again, what we want to encourage you to do is support the work of the ACLJ. We're able to get involved in all these issues because of your financial support to the American Center for Law and Justice. We want you to donate online at aclj.org. And if you are able, become a monthly supporter of the American Center for Law and Justice. Become an ACLJ champion, where you make a regular monthly donation at an amount that's whatever you're comfortable for. That makes it great for our team. We're able to go through issues. If someone comes to us with an issue, we say we want to fight that. We don't have to ask, can we fight it?
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.